First verse is going to be from Numbers chapter 1, verse 44, then Joshua 5 and 6, and Joshua 21, 43. These are the men Moses and Aaron registered with the assistance of the 12 leaders of Israel, each represented his ancestral house. All those registered numbered 603,000 people. For the Israelites wandered in the wilderness 40 years until all the nation's men of war who came out of Egypt had died off because they did not obey the Lord. So the Lord vowed never to let them see the land he had sworn to their fathers to give them, a land flowing with milk and honey. In Joshua 21:43 says, so the Lord gave Israel all the land he had sworn to give their fathers, and they took possession of it and settled there. Amen. It's hard to go from Romanian to English and English back to Romanian, but we try our best. Now, a couple of things I want to make sure we understand is that tonight's message is not going to be a historical or lesson about Israel, about Moses or Joshua. It's not going to be a lecture about Israel spending 40 years in the wilderness. In fact, tonight's message is going to be about God's people. And that means God's people, you and me. Now, I want to make it clarify, and we're going to be defining very shortly here, what it means to be God's people. But I'm also going to use those chapters, and I'm going to use Israel as an example of how God's people, our identity, can be lost. And we're going to go through that tonight. So I called the sermon tonight, Lost Identity. First I called it God's people, but then I saw the Romanian soccer team over there, and that didn't make sense, because I'm sure they're not, most of them are probably not God's people. The whole idea is that they lost their identity back in 1994, if you remember. Now, here's going to be a couple idea things, is that I want to make this message practical, of course, like everybody else that comes up here. But I want you to think about this definition that I'm going to show you right now. And I'm going to use the Bible to define what it means to be God's people. Exodus 14:31 says, and when the Israelites saw the great power of the Lord displayed against the Egyptian, the people feared the Lord and put their trust in him. That is what defines God's nation. See, at any moment, most of us that have been baptized and have accepted Christ in our heart, at some point we feared God and we put our trust in him. Somewhere along the way, some of us may have lost some of that, or at least are in danger of losing that identity. And we're going to be talking about that tonight. See, this message came about when I thought and I meditated about what makes the difference between our grandparents. What is the difference between our parents, and what is the difference between us, the youth, us Romanian Americans? Well, see, I remember looking back at times about my grandma. I mean, this woman, I would wake up early in the morning and she'd be praying for 2 hours. She'd make breakfast, and by the time I finished breakfast, she'd be back on her knees praying more. My parents were fearful of God, and they were strong in their faith. They had an identity, and they still do. And then came me. And I got very worried, because I said, can I live with these people in heaven? Can I live with my grandma that prays for hours and hours? I mean, I think of myself pretty savvy. I mean, very, very somewhat educational, right? But I have my iPad, my iPhone, my iTouch, all those things. I think Laura has iTouch, but that's beside the point. But the idea is that we're savvy people. And then the question is, can we fit with God's people? Do we spend enough time praying, learning the Word of God? So at that point, I realized that here we are, 33 years later, I've been in this country for 20 years, and I love it here. I love what I do and what the Lord has blessed us to be able to do. But I look at the Romanian churches, and I look at the American churches, and I wonder what has gone wrong. Well, see, we are descendants, whether you're Romanian or American, we're descendants of people that have seen the great power of God. I mentioned earlier that our grandparents have seen the fall of Stalin, Nazi, and the communism, I remember not too long ago, Fratele Braica Sr. told us a story about when he heard about the Romanian Revolution, he went to Arad to join them. He didn't care about that people may die, that he may die. I remember when I was 9 years old in Romania, through our small town of Tulca, some communist car supposed to come through to escape in Hungary. And I remember at 9 years old, I wanted to be part of that small community and wait for them. I didn't think that there's going to be violence. I didn't think about that I may die. I wanted to be part of something great. And at that point, I realized that freedom is upon us. Well, again, here we are. And the question really becomes, the young generation, are we ready to see the power of God? And I believe we are. If I look at this church and at this youth, and as we prepare to enter a new stage of our lives, I believe that we are ready to see the power of God. But see, as I was preparing the message, I asked myself, are we? Are you that are listening to me, are you ready to see the power of God? If we are descendants of people that have seen the power of God, are you ready to live 40 years in wilderness and go and fight for the Lord? To go to school and truly believe and stand for what you believe in? Our identity. In Revelation 21:23 says, the city does not need the sun or the moon to shine on it, because God's glory illuminates it, and its lamb is the lamp. The lamp is the lamb. The nation will walk in its light, and the kings of the earth will bring their glory into it. Each day its gates will never close, because it will never be night there. That is our Canaan. That's our promised land. Now, it should be that simple, and our parents bring us to this country or in this world, and we live here for a certain amount of time. But you see, the wilderness is a hard place, and just like Israel, we can make many mistakes. I want to go through three mistakes that Israel made, and I want to learn from them, that we don't make them. At the third one is the worst, and that's really the warning sign for us, because we're so close. The first one is Exodus 14:11 says, Israel said to Moses, what have you done to us by bringing us out of Egypt? It would have been better for us to serve the Egyptian than to die in the wilderness. Well, the first mistake is complaining. We see that over and over and over from Egypt, but we see it from us. The church seems to be the perfect place to complain. I remember coming to First Romanian Baptist Church. I was new here. People were complaining. I started complaining. Reality of it is that we need to start realizing that things don't happen because we complain. Don't get it wrong. Don't be that naive. Things happen on God's time. And it happens because God is in control. The second one is from Numbers 14:4. So they said to one another, let's appoint a leader and go back to Egypt. This one is refusing to obey God. If you look at the history of Israel, Moses picks a group of people to go into Canaan and inspect the country. Most of them come back and give very negative approach and negative information about Canaan. So everybody has a fear, and they refuse to go into Canaan, and they want to return back to Egypt. Well, see, two people, as we know, Joshua and Caleb, actually speak positive about Canaan. And they say that God will deliver the land to them. Well, the irony, however, is that Joshua and Caleb were a minority and not the majority. You see, God, but unfortunately, when we refuse to obey God, there's two things going to happen. One is God is going to let you live your way. And God will let you decide what you're going to do. The consequence, it wasn't that they lived 40 years in the wilderness. The consequence was that they never saw Canaan. They died. And the same thing for us. If we decide to be in our way because we think we know better, the consequence is not that we're just going to have a great life. It's that we're never going to see the Lord, the kingdom of heaven. In Exodus 32:4, if you can barely see it, says, Aaron took the gold from their hand and fashioned it with the graving tool and made it into an image of a calf, and they said, this is your God, O Israel, who brought you up from the land of Egypt. This is the third and final mistake, and this is the one that we are so close as a nation to be on. I called it idolatry and immorality. But they didn't just complain. They didn't just refuse God, but they replaced God. And if we look at our country and as a nation, we have replaced him in schools. It's obvious. The fear is that we're going to be replacing him from church and mainly from our lives. And that's really what we need to be very cautious about. It's very practical. Don't complain. Start to obey God. And more than anything, do not replace him. Pray tonight when you get home or right now. Bow your heads and pray, the Lord, help me replace the things that I prioritize with you. Not replace God with my priorities. I speak to myself. I know me and my wife, I've been fighting with this. I'm at work on Saturdays and Sundays sometimes. We fight through this as well. That's a bad thing because I'm having priorities before God. But see, the reality of it is that here we are, and I say this, I think I've said it every single time I've been up here, and I said it every Sacramento, everywhere I go. God has made it simple for us, people. Whoa. Friends, brothers, sisters, here's going to be the thing. I look at Israel, and God says, you know what, I'm going to make it so simple, I'm going to give you 10 commandments. You follow these 10 commandments, and that's all you have to do. Fratele Braica Jr., he told the youngs about the Ten Commandments. We all know them. Maybe not memorize them, as we saw earlier this morning. But reality of it is that he made it simple, says these Ten Commandments. Well, Israel failed and disobeyed God. 2,000 later, years later, he comes out and says, I'm going to make it even more simple. I'm going to give you my son. Forget the Ten Commandments. They're important. But if you're going to follow my son's behavior, if you're going to be like him, you're going to fulfill the Ten Commandments by default. He makes it that simple. So basically, from tonight, I want you to remember three things. And it's going to be, first of all, our legacy. The question is going to be, what is our legacy? And the three things I want you to remember is stop complaining, start obeying, and see the miracles of God. It's that simple. Now, I know time is running out, but I told the youth in Chicago, and I think some of you may have watched it, but I want to kind of summarize again what I told them. I was 17 years old. I was sitting like you in church when I heard my pastor tell a story from his family and said that at his house he had a portrait. And on that portrait, it said the verse from Joshua 24:15, and one of the Sore prayed about this. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. But he looked at this portrait and he became very sour and sad in his heart. He got a ladder and went up to get the portrait down. As he's doing this, his son walks into the house and says, Dad, what are you doing? Why are you taking the portrait down? His dad looks at him, the pastor looks at his son and says, because that is not true of my house. As for me and my house, we are not serving the Lord. At that point, the young son realizes that he was the only one in his family that had not accepted Christ. And he said, Dad, stop right there. As of today, I'm going to accept Christ in my life. That's all it took for me, to realize that in my family, I was the one that had not accepted Christ in his life. But tonight's message, it's not just about making mistakes, but tonight's message is about a calling. And it's calling for you to serve the Lord. And as I said before, stop complaining, start obeying, and see the miracles of God. He may help us. Amen. Amen.